stuff now.
So it's really easy. You can see everything here. It's like I'm holding a Maker Faire Live event in China, which is called Maker Carnival, and you got this contact information on me. Okay, so very quickly explain what it is. Well, first, I am a hacker from Beijing, China. My name is Hao. And this event is for hackers, artists, makers to show their project, to do workshops, and for a lot of other people to see, to visit, and to explore whatever it is. And they will locate in Beijing. It will happen in next April, which is April 2012. And why are we holding this? Well, the first reason is to promote the creative thinking in China, and then it's like to let the international hackers to know more about China, well, to make Chinese people to know more about the international hacking culture. Well, how we doing this is, you know, just like workshops, projects, and we might be able to fly some of the hackers from other countries to China, and then we might arrange some kind of tourism to hacker spaces in China after this event. This event is like 1 day event. Okay, every information is here, and my extension is 99009, which is really easy to remember. Dex.
Who is next? Oh, by the way, can you update the list according, or just leave a note about the owner?
Yeah.
Okay, Benjamin, you ready? Then here you go. So, hi!
So I actually have two things to tell you. The first thing, I don't know if somebody does not know what Neo layout is. Raise your hands who does not know what the Neo keyboard layout is. Ah, great. So I told this several times in lightning talks, so I didn't want to talk it now, but okay, I'll give you a short introduction. Neo keyboard layout is something like the Dvorak layout, which is an optimized layout for the German language. So therefore you see here, we have here UIAE, so the and here RNTS, so which are the characters you use very, very often. So they are under the strong fingers, and you don't have to leave the middle row very often. So, and the concept is that you really have to move less ways with your fingers. And in addition to these things, we have several layers, so you cannot only print the normal characters, but you can also print characters you use with your computer very often. So therefore, you see here, if you go to this one, we have here two modifiers, here and there, and when you press the key there, you can reach characters like the parentheses and the star and these things you need very often. And it occurred that someday people wrote strange WinRC files for the mailing list because HJKL does not work anymore and these things. And there we said, hey, we have once more a layer. When you press this button, then you can hear move, and it works with every application. So, and when you press there, the button, you hear the whole numbers and all these things. So the thing why I want to tell you this is, we have, I'm proud to have, this year, which is a neo-printed hardware keyboard. And I have three of them, somebody sponsored them, and the thing is, you can get it for free, but you have to do something for the Neo project. So do something cool, and tomorrow I will give this to the three coolest things. I have three of them. You get for free. Yeah, that's it. Okay, and the second thing I wanted to tell you so is. This is MobileFlap. It's an authentication system for hackerspaces. So, short survey, raise hands. Who is sometimes in a hackerspace at home? Yes, several. So, and then we have here several authentication mechanisms. So, who of your hackerspaces, who of you use the usual hardware key? Yeah, okay. So, how many do you have then? So, about 30 keys for everybody, one. Okay. So who has a password to enter some PIN or something like this? Nobody? And who has a smart card? Ah, okay, so at least some. So what we want to have for an authentication system for our hackerspace? It has to fulfill some things. No one does deny it. So the first thing is we want no surveillance, so we do not want to be controlled who is in there and when. The next thing is we have a list of hackers who can go in the hackerspace, and it may occur sometimes that you want to exclude somebody. And the third thing is, yeah, when we have two people and one can in and the other not, it should not be the case that one gives the key to the other person. So when we look now to our authentication mechanism, so the first was the key. Of course, it's rolled out because it's not cool and we cannot distribute it to many people, so we don't want to have this. The second was the password. Then we have a problem that it's easy to give the password away to others. So then one can say, okay, we can take many passwords. Everybody has his own password, and yes, if he gives it away to others, we can exclude him from the list and do these things. Yes, but then we are trackable. So that's not good again. So, okay, and therefore we have a protocol which, where you are before your door, you say, okay, please let me into the door, and the door calculates the timestamp, it signs the timestamp, encrypts it to Alice, or to Bob here, and sends it encrypted, and Bob has to send the signed timestamp, and then the door just opens. How it looks? It's like this. Yeah, you before the door. I paste it in, and here you see the timestamp which is signed, and then I can enter in and access granted. It's great. So, and now comes the question, how do we get it that it's not trackable? 10 seconds. This is it. We encrypted to everybody, so you will not see who decrypted it. That's it. Download it. Yeah. I'm ready.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Timo, and I just want to introduce my collaborator, document management software. We wrote it in Django, it's a Python web framework, and we had problems in the university with distributing many documents in a large group. And so we just wrote around stuff on the slide, please. Okay, thank you. It has actually many cool features. It's a multi-user document management, the web browser, it supports, well, every kind of file type or format or size, no restriction or something. It's organized in semesters, categories, and courses. We have integrated lecture profiles, including the course overview of which courses were added by the specific lecturer. Yeah, of course, we have fancy tech clouds because it was very cool to see what topics are the documents are about. A really cool thing is that it's a full text search, and we index the text of PDF documents, so it's really easy to get the information about a specific topic, even if the text is hidden in the PDF document. We generate the preview images of the file, so you don't have to download it to know what's in it. You can download documents in the original file format or zip, and you can also download the whole course documents as a zip file. That's really cool. You can, of course, add the comments and rating because it's a collaborative document management. It's about communicating and so on. And we have a revision system. You can download every revision of the document, upload it. It's actually multi-language software. We have English and German translation available at the moment. And the cool thing is, document is open source. So theoretically, there can be any language in our system. Of course, you can get email subscriptions if the document changes or if someone uploads a new revision or something. And of course, your whole session on our server is SSL encrypted. Okay, let's call a short snapshot of Dogman. That's the overview. Slide please. You can find us on GitHub. If you're interested in our closed beta, sign up for hosting. Then just visit get.dogman.me and just get in touch with us. Write us an email, mail@dogman.me, and write us a mention to the whatever. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you. So, all right. If I will talk about a German conference, I will have the talk in English for all the foreign hacker spaces to learn, and maybe if they don't know how to get into the public with their ideas, here is one you can copy. So, I will talk about the Datenspur and what are the Datenspur. Well, there are annual conference, and it's about privacy and anonymity, and it's about technical assessment. So our target audience is pretty much everybody we want to address: the nerd, the geek, the hacker spaces surrounding us. But we also want to talk to the people on the streets who don't know as much about security, privacy, and anonymity as we do. We want that they learn from us. So we have set the entry fee to nothing. That works pretty good. So what do we offer? This year we offer, as every year, we offer lectures, we offer workshops, and this year our main topics are the cloud security, IP physics issues, privacy issues, and every other stuff. So why do we have the Atlas Kit Zero? Because this year we want to address also the younger audiences, kids, blue kids, and so on and so forth. So where are we located? Well, all this will happen on the 15th and 16th of October in the lovely East, Dresden is wonderful, and we have good weather, and of course we have sufficient amount of matter. So, okay, if you want to join us, to come to visit us, feel free to come to the Dutch tour this year, 15th, 16th of October 2011. And if you want to give a talk, a lecture, a workshop, if you have something for kids, if you want to do some art and stuff, you can contact us, http://dutch.de. It also works with SSL, so HTTPS, if you want to. So, and you have time till August 31st to enter something. Okay. So, there will be lightning talks at the Datenspur as well. So, if you can't speak tonight, come to us. Thanks.
Very nice. So, next one will be you, Gugamas, and you go to Mozambique. That will be you. Okay, let's get the slides ready.
Be sure that you don't have broken windows like we have here. OK,
okay? Be sure that you can, this was in the middle of the woods, be sure that you can like drag some cables of electricity to there. Next slide. Okay, so electricity is very important. Without electricity, you cannot do this. Either you get some money with you and you buy a big, huge meters of cable and get the locals to help you to drag the electricity to where you want this to be, or you already bring your cables with you because they are way cheaper here. Especially if you are white, things will get very expensive there. Next. Okay, prepare some arguments to explain to the locals that you are going to teach girls equally, because this was a thing that I was not prepared to. They are unfortunately very macho kind of community, and they will not understand why are you teaching these kind of things to girls. Because they feel that the girls' place is not to work with machines, it is to be like in the kitchen and doing their girl stuff. Okay, next slide. Okay, when you are teaching, go to the basics, start with the zero, okay? I know this is kind of Princess Diana kind of stuff. Start with the zero, and like this is enter, this is where you turn your computer, this is a window, this is a menu, this kind of stuff, and test. They will always say that they are understanding, but they are not. Do hard questions and make sure that they learn. Next. Okay, be prepared to work without internet. You will not have internet. Download Wikipedia to your computer, do whatever you want. You will not have internet. You will not have 3G. Even if you have a cable, your connection will be always dropping, and forget about downloading images. Next. Okay, make sure you do a manual with comics. Do not put text. I did this. The manual is like on the trash. They will not read. Even though they know how to read, they will not. They are lazy. They need comics, they need pictures, they need things that call to them like with through the eyes, through the vision. Next. Okay, don't be afraid. They are very, it's a very relaxed country. The people are very open, and if you are there to help, you can be guaranteed that they will welcome you with a big smile and a warm heart. Next. Okay, these are just like the summary. Okay, two books to read if you are interested in this kind of stuff. The first one is about the guy who was a climber, alpinist in Afghanistan, and got without nothing, and then he started some schools, and now he's a big world hero. The next one is about the boy who could not continue in school because of his father, did not have money, so he agreed to help the father and go to the library. In the library, he learned all about engineering and built a windmill that completely changed the life of his villages. That's it. Okay, more questions, you can come to me after this.
A general remark to all the speakers that I always do. You see the microphone here? It doesn't move away from my chin. It's stuck there. So whatever I do with my other hand gesturing, it's right there. It doesn't go away. Please do this. Okay? Okay.
I'm going to talk about a bit of a hypothetical thing about time loop logic to solve computational problems. It's a principle that was first outlined by Hans Moravec in 1991. Next slide, please. The basic idea is that every electronic circuit has a latency. So that means you put something in, it works for a moment, and you get the output. Imagine we push the boundaries further. Right now, it is nicely takes a few nanoseconds to react. Make it picoseconds, femtoseconds, and in the end, the latency becomes negative. Next, the effect is if it would get negative, we get a time travel. Next slide, please. Many issues don't come up when you're just sending photons through time instead of yourself. Yet there are three major paradoxes that apply. First, the precognition paradox. Every one of you who have seen Minority Report should know what I'm talking about. The predestination paradox is if you learn something, travel back in time, say a house is on fire in the 1920s, you travel back in time to find out what it is, and then you accidentally kick a candle over and start the fire. Next. And the last one is the famous grandfather paradox, where you travel back in time and kill your grandfather before you're born, or you kill yourself, something like that. There are several possible solutions for that. One is the multiple universes theory, pretty boring in this next slide, please. The other is nominal self-consistency principle, which is basically about the idea that if you travel back in time, you can't change anything that would produce a paradox that can't be solved by logic. Surprise, all of the grandfather paradox are consistent with logic. So you only have to avoid the time travel, the grandfather paradox.
Next, please.
The idea to use this for computation is, in this case, we use light beams, not electrical currents, because all the quantum mechanical effects on electrons are a lot more complicated than on photons. We have a circuit, a bit like up there, it's an amplifier and a device that creates our photons, and we put the output of the amplifier as an input back again. In a normal circuit, this means we get just a loop of things running. Now imagine we have a time traveling circuit, so the output comes earlier as an input back than the input. In normal case, the left side, it would do nothing because the circuit is fed with exactly the same value that originally was put in. On the second slide, which is the use of an inverter, something like a logical NOT operation, that would mean if we use the circuit, then the input would be inversed. So we would have a grandfather paradox because we would put in the exact opposite that was the output just before we do the input. Next slide, please. The circuit itself is not of much use, but now we go and polarize the light beams, where zero is vertical or one is horizontal or vice versa. No single output in this case would produce a consistent situation. But quantum mechanics allow the faces to overlap in what's called superposition. The superposition that measures 0 or 1 would produce indistinguishable superposition 1 and 0, so the input is the same as the output, so it works again. Light that is equal to polarized, which is the case in this case, is called unpolarized. As long as the light in our circuit is unpolarized, the input and output are equal, the circuit stays online. It will extinguish the moment we start to measure and modify the unpolarized state. Next slide, please. Now we collect some of the light, measure the polarization. About half of the measures will be 0, the rest 1. If we now assume or simply represent signals, not as a single photons, but more like a bulk of photons, representing a signal value. For our case, the signal will aggregate on an intermediate value somewhere in the middle, we call it the half in this case. Now we change our viewpoint. The circuit without negative time delay will total state between 0 and 1 constantly. Adding more than a negative delay will raise the frequency until we reach a negative delay, which is a frequency simply is infinite. And I think I don't get this finished in 5 minutes. So come ask me. Really try.
This is where time travel foods are actually really very, very helpful. Anyways, the next talk. I forgot to ask. We can see where the slides. Actually, you guys there, if you're getting cool, please walk past these people. There's more chairs over there. Just grab a chair. We'll come through here. It's actually much faster.
Hi there, my name is Casey Calandrello. I live in San Francisco, California, and this is a brief talk on how to capture form submissions from malicious JavaScript. So we all know that everyone uses HTTPS for everything that's really important, right? It's been a best practice since like the beginning of the universe. But the problem is that many sites have unencrypted login pages. So like Facebook, which everyone uses as an identity provider now. Like I can log into all sorts of streaming sites with Facebook. Twitter is the other only identity provider ever in the world. So Facebook, Twitter, and Wikipedia, and then I did some searching, and there's a Federal Credit Union, which is a small bank in eastern Massachusetts that also does this. So like, not only can I like stream your music, but maybe we can like get some of your money too. So, but that's okay, because the form data is over HTTPS. Next slide. Well, a brief aside, everyone knows that AJAX and the DOM are really cool. For those of you who don't know what it is, you can make arbitrary HTTP requests outside of the normal page flow. And on the JavaScript, you can do things like modify form attributes and things like set the onSubmit event. So if we can man in the middle and modifying pages is trivial, well, then are you thinking what I'm thinking? Next slide. Okay. What if we tell a browser to copy any form data to your URL and send it over an AJAX request? Like, nobody will even know what's going on. Next slide. So here it is. This is the JavaScript that does that. It expects the presence of jQuery, and all it does is take the document and it says, hey, every form object on this page, whenever you're on submit event, you should also call my stupid little function that just posts, that takes the data and posts it to a URL that I control. So I wrote this. I used Moxie, Marlin Spike. He wrote a man-in-the-middle proxy that does SSL stripping, but that's actually really easy to detect. He tried to hide it by changing the favicon to a lock icon, but it's still like, everybody here would know, oh crap, you know, like, I don't want to log in over HTTP. So this doesn't. You're still logging in over HTTPS, but on the side, well, I happen to get it. So if you can do a standard man-in-the-middle HTTP attack, say like you're running your own access point or you arc for the gateway, which by the way, nobody here, you can't do it here because they actually check, so you can't arc for the gateway here. But if you can run your own access point and you run this transparent proxy, then you will get the password, not the session cookie, but the password of everybody who logs on to any of those accounts. Next slide. So how do you stop this? The only solution on your side is to use HTTPS Everywhere, which is brilliant EFF made, or to use Chrome, which has the equivalent. It has a hard-coded list of sites that must be HTTPS. Next slide. Don't skip that, please. And so the big picture is we all know that web pages and JavaScript can do a ton. If you're a web application programmer, you must treat all insecurely loaded pages as completely tainted. There's absolutely no trust that you can give them. And so really, guys, always put your login pages on HTTPS. Google does it, you can too. Great, so the code is up on GitHub. Next slide, please. github.com/the-url-is-wrong/speech/formstiff if you're interested. Send me an email, and hope you enjoyed it. Thanks.
Send an email to that address so we can figure out
when to take you there. There's just one car, it's a six-seater, so we can only take six people at a time. And it takes 50 minutes to get there and 50 minutes to return. All right, so we need to figure this out to make it really happen. As another note, if you have time, like in the morning today, or want to stay until Monday to catch the train from Berlin, perhaps. So the In Berlin hackerspace just north of the main station is welcoming you. It's open 24/7. You can just come there, log in, sit on the sofa, get a Clubmate, yes, we still have Clubmate there, and just be there until you have the time to board the train. It's pretty near. If you take the bus right out in front, it's 5 minutes to the main station. The only drawback, it runs only every 20 minutes. So anyways, if you need a changeover, maybe you want to go tomorrow by train earlier, but then the intermediate time you can spend it in Berlin, right? That's in-berlin.de. And the address and everything I can give you later again. So we're ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right? How about?
All
right.
Thank you a lot. So, my talk will be about business card ticket hacking. Next slide, please. So who am I? I'm Pavel Lunda. I'm from Hackerspace Progress Bar. We are a great open community, so don't hesitate to come and visit us. We are between Italian embassy and Dublin, so just join us. I had a similar presentation 3 years ago. 2 years ago, at hacking and random in Drolan about SMS public transport ticket hacking. This presentation will be about SMS parking ticket. Next slide, please. Okay, so we have revealed critical vulnerabilities in Slovak mobile working. How big Slovak citizens and big brothers are affected. We were able to force any registered mobile parking user to pay for parking of any arbitrary car. We were also able to dump mobile numbers of all registered users in mobile parking. So this about this will be my presentation. Next slide, please. So first I would like to say something how does mobile parking exactly work. In Slovakia, it works in two ways. Using registration, so in this case you need to register on the mobile parking system, a website, you need to put your mobile number, your car play number, your name, and after the registration, you need to transfer some money to your credit. In this case, billing is done by the mobile parking company. This was the first original way how you can pay for the parking. The other option was without registration. In this case, you don't need to register anywhere. You just send an SMS that you want to park. And in this case, billing is done by the mobile operator. Next slide, please. Okay, so syntax of SMS parking is SMS parking with message is really simple. As you can see, it contains two information. The first information is parking time. It is in hours, in case of Bratislava, or in minutes, in case of Vienna. Then there is optional parameter like carpool number. So we are able also to pay for a number that is not ours. This SMS message is sent to some specific number, for example, this one. Next slide, please. Okay, so where the vulnerability exactly is, the problem is that the payer of the mobile phone is identified according to the SMS sender of this SMS parking message. And of course, as we know, the SMS sender and SMS message can very easily spoof. So we decided to use SMS spoofing service, SMS.com, where one SMS cost about 70 cents. I would like to say that this can be also performed completely anonymously by creating a new store and can pay, for example, smz.net free SMS using Bitcoin. Next slide, please. So the question is, now we are able to send SMS parking ticket spoof, send the numbers, we are able to pay parking for any person. We just need to know the exact number of this person. So the question is, how it is possible to reveal the person that are already registered in the Sparking system? Next slide, please. We decided to use vulnerability registration forms to dump all the vulnerables. In cases like mobile parking, mparking.sk, and also Austrian mobile parking, all these websites are vulnerable to the trivial merge attacks. So this attack is really, really easy. During the registration process, you just put a given mobile number and the application will respond to you if this number exists at all or not. Of course, this behavior can be really easily exploited to dump all mobile numbers of all mobile parking registered users. Next slide, please. So, okay, so what does it mean exactly? We are able to cause mobile parking anarchy. So the victim receives the best, of course, when we force some people to pay for SMS parking of some other people, the victim just receives the SMS notification that he pays for the parking of some car. It is necessary to say that the owner of this car does not need to know exactly necessary anything about the victim or about the attacker. So in this case, the attacker is still anonymous and caused maximum chaos, because for the car parking company, it will be really difficult to distinguish between justified and unjustified complaints. So yeah, we can cause that we will be able to park for free, or in some case, the car parking company can shut down the mobile parking system very soon. Okay. Next slide. We propose some solution how to fix this problem. Solar mobile parking is completely vulnerable, and Austrian parking has only one this vulnerability, so cannot be fully exploited. That's all from me. Thank you a lot.
So
from the web server of the camera, you can really download the sources that was used to build this firmware, but you have also all the schematics and details on the hardware. Next slide, please. So the source code, including the FPGA source code, is downloadable from our SourceForge project, and all the documentation, PCB layouts, schematics, everything is available from our wiki. Next slide, please. On the license side, we only use GPLv3 as for FPGA code 2, and all the documentation is on the GPLvr. Next slide, please. Just some of the applications of our camera. Google Street View use our boards to build their panoramic camera for Street View, and they also use it for scanning project. Next slide, please. This is an underwater exploration robot built with two of our cameras, and this one also navigates using the Linux inside the camera. So everything is operating from the camera. Here it's Logolog. So they use one of the cameras is Alpha camera too. I don't know exactly what they use it for, but they contribute all the changes they publish, and they publicly communicate on our public mailing list. It's quite cool. Next slide, please. We have people doing open source cinema project with our camera. It's quite interesting because it was really not our main goal, but they are really motivated and made a lot of progress since 2 years. Next slide, please. So if you want more information, of course, you have our site, wiki, and blog. Don't hesitate if you have any project involving a reconfigurable camera to come to talk to me or contact us on ERC or our public mailing list. Thank you very much.
Thanks. That's interesting. So the development. Your phone becomes a camera, now your camera becomes a phone or a web server. So when the police are coming in, they probably also take your toaster because it's running NetBSD, right? So, everybody? Good.
Good evening. I would like to quickly introduce you to the new proposed project, the Glorious Monster Light Program. Next one, please. So the overview is that we are following the target that was set by the FATE NASA project called GLORY, and hence it's called GLORY-R. It's going to be a CubeSat cluster designed in open source way, so all the hardware, the data that we're going to generate, everything is open, anyone can take part. And we are in the very, 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 very beginning stage. Just write our concept driver. Next one, please. As you see, our objectives are aerosols, which is a tiny particles which has a particle lifetime inside the atmosphere. It's not that they have a very pronounced climatic effect, and they are known to be vectors of certain things. Certain natural disasters can be monitored using the aerosols that are produced during that disaster. The target people who are maybe interested in the aerosol data can be either climate scientists who are interested in long-term application in the aerosol data in order to find out the climatic dynamics, or other planners who have to plan disaster mitigation strategy by monitoring the spreading of the disaster. Next one, please. Okay, the constraint is the CubeSat. The volume is 10 centimeter cube. The mass is in around 1 kilogram, and it's usually set in low Earth orbit. And usually the data dynamic rate is 200 kilobytes for each pass over each ground station. However, the good part is that you can use off-the-shelf components, and to organize a launch is quite easy because we usually piggyback. Next one. The plan, what I wanted to observe is the four-dimensional aerosol concentration. that is the three-dimensional concentration, three-dimensional aerosol, and it's changed over time, then I would like to identify the space ESS, and then I would like to find out how the solar input energy might be affected by the presence of aerosols. And finally, the dispersion model, that is also a four-dimensional data set of the aerosols. Natural layers. To sum up, the project has practical applications, both long and short term. So what we are trying to do in this camp is to get an outreach to the community and to organize cooperation and support from the very beginning stage. At this moment, I'd like to say that the Dust the Wall team from Bombo is incredible. They managed to incredible short time integrate one of our magnetic science sources in one of their balloons that's going to be launched tomorrow at 11 a.m. And I'm really thankful about it. And so far, as a scientist, I have not done anything. I'm just waiting for the data, and I would like to see what comes out of that. So, for more information, you can just go there. The website is there. And that was basically it. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Stefan, and I'm a radio amateur. So, hi, my name is Stefan, and I'm a radio amateur. So, I just want to talk a little bit about M-Wave.
Which is the
form?
Slides,
yeah.
Which one?
Oh, yeah. Includes my name. Stefan G.
Try again. Wait. Okay, copy with me.
Okay.
So, what's the missing sentence here?
Okay, then I can start with things. You can find us in the Hem Village, which is behind the two shelters, the two big shelters. And yeah. Okay, so the slides are done because I did it for something else. Okay, next slide. So who we are? We are the guys with the big antennas. So we are really easy to find. Next. Okay, Hem Radio. Hem Radio was not like CD or other things that you can buy a device and use it. Next slide. You have to get a license. That means you have to learn before because you have to know what you're doing. But you are allowed to do everything yourself. You can build your devices your own. You have many frequencies that you can use. You can use it for worldwide communication. But there are also some things that are not so good. So it's only communication between other between HEM members is allowed. Okay, it's very international. Yeah, but everyone is allowed to view. It's a so-called shortwave listeners. Okay, then next slide. Okay, you can do many things. You can easiest thing that you can do is talk. You can do the CV, so you know, you can transmit pictures and television, and there are also many digital communication types. Some of them you can see in our tent. Okay, next slide. Okay, mostly used shortwave and ultra shortwave. Shortwave is for worldwide communication, depends on time of day and also on the sun. Then you have ultra shortwave used with mobile devices and also for other communication. For example, the people from Austria are doing projects that they communicate using the moon as a reflector. So they send the signal to the moon and receive it somewhere else. And you can also communicate with the International Space Station. They also have a radio station there. Okay, next slide. Okay, in Germany, or not only in Germany, so the organization is the International Amateur Radio Union, is a worldwide organization, and in Germany you have the DARC, it's the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club, and das ist eigentlich so viele Leute in Deutschland interessant, ist im Prinzip unterteilt in verschiedene Ortsverbände und sehr sending secure air cards, so if you're talking to someone, you can send them a card, okay, I've talked to you and they are transmitting it. Next slide. Oh, I'm really fast. Okay, the most interesting thing here on the camp, that are some of the HEM members on the camp here. We have three main projects. The so-called Chaos Weather. It's a space out project. They are launching an, or want to launch a satellite that can also be used for communication, but that should also be art. And we have the Meta Funk, so there are people from the Meta that we meet in Vienna. They are doing the communication using the Google. Okay, that's it. So if you have any question, just come to the Hamlet, where you find some big antennas, and you can ask every time the problem.
If you see him in real, we have him here on the camp. a part-time scientist village. At the GRU station. And you can also see our development rover R0 for testing software. It's with a Google board and runs with QMX. Some of you will see it drive up on the way up here. That's a model of the lambda. It's a scale model 1 to 10. What we at this moment discuss with the DLR to build you see the tank out, the thruster, and the case where the rover is in. On this pic, you can see how this lambda fits in a rocket. The feet are flattened out to make it clearer. So that was it with the picture. Yes, any question about? I've got 2 minutes. What? Come up to our village. I will answer them as soon as possible.
We have one from you, right? Just a couple of you. So maybe anyone who's traveling through Berlin may come to in Berlin Hackerspace. If you want some more information, watch the IRC channel. I'm Sven G on there. I'll be sending out the data right there rather than bore you with this here. So you got
If somebody wants to talk after him and has some slides or something, you can give it to me so that you can just nod to me and we can just do it.
I want to mention a project I'm doing, I forgot to mention it previously. That's I'm now trying to control a servo-based robot with Kinect, Microsoft Kinect, and I really want to make it done like before the camp ends. I'm getting pretty good on the Kinect part, and I've now had some problems with the serial communication between the motherboard and the robot. Because it's a commercial one, and you hack on that, so anybody interested in that project, you can always find it in the hardware hacking tent or with the extension 9999. Okay, thanks.